And none of it makes any difference at all to people on the bottom rung. The universal credit means that lots of private landlords won't rent to people on benefits anymore. And of course, if you're not got a stable address, your chances of registering to vote are minimal. And in fact, we've got less people registered to vote now than at the last election in this country, yeah. Even though we've got a bigger population. And that is all part of the plan. Basically, they don't want the poor to register to vote, and if you deprive them of housing, then they won't be able to register to vote, and therefore their needs are not going to be met.
That sounds,
and that's fundamental gerrymandering that's going on.
Sounds to me like a third world model sort of of government. Now
it is.
We're going to switch the subject now and have a look at this racist murder last week. Just actually, it was being announced on the news, headlining as we were doing this show this time a week ago, and that was in Rochdale. Guy in his 80s, and oh, hang on, I think he was in his 70s, was murdered on the way home from mosque. Now, this is really setting a pattern of cowardly attacks by young men, it seems, on elderly Muslims travelling to or from mosques. This has happened in various different places, Walsall, Rotherham, and now Rochdale too. And I spoke to the daughter of someone who was murdered a few years ago in Birmingham. Her name is Maz Salim, and she's a campaigner on racism, anti-racist campaigner, about this and how it fits in with these three different murders, and also how some of them have not had any kind of national publicity whatsoever.
My name's Maz Salim. I'm an anti-racism campaigner, and I'm the daughter of Mohammed Salim, who was brutally murdered in Birmingham in April 2013. Since my father's passing, I've been very active speaking and standing up against racism and Islamophobia. So I speak on many platforms, from the Teachers Union to Stand Up to Racism platforms, Stop the War Coalition on Islamophobia and the War on Terror.
Any racist murder is upsetting, particularly though when it's of an elderly gentleman. We've had three of these murders now in Britain, have not really been connected, certainly by the national press.
My father, Mohammed Salim, was murdered on the 29th of April 2013. He was 82 years old at the time. He was called out and murdered in Smalley from the very road he'd lived on for over 30 years. And he was murdered allegedly because he was brown and dressed like a Muslim. My father was followed from the mosque after evening Isha prayers by a Ukrainian neo-Nazi terrorist who had been in the country for less than a week. My father was then stabbed brutally three times from behind. Now, in August 2015, last year, Mohsin Ahmed, who was 81 years old, was on his way to mosque for Fajr prayers, which are the morning prayers, and he was attacked and brutally beaten to death. He was stamped and kicked, and the court case has just come to court, and the details have gone into what they actually did to him. It's truly, truly horrific what they actually did to him. They stamped on him, and they kicked him and punched him, and they actually found the perpetrators by the footprint on his face from the trainers, was one of the perpetrators. So those details have come out in court today, actually. And then just last week, we've had the murder of a very pious imam from the mosque, Jalal Uddin, who was on his way home from mosque, exactly like Dad, Isha prayers, and he was brutally beaten to death. The police at the moment have two suspects, but they have not mentioned the race or the identity of the suspects as yet. Similarly, with Dad's case, when Dad was initially murdered, he took 3 months to find Pablo Lapshin, because when we told him this was a racist attack, they wouldn't believe us, and they, you know, we had to convince them. Now, with Mohsin Ahmed, similarly the same. He was brutally murdered by racists, drunken racists. This has been reported today in the press. And again, at the time, Sheffield Gazette was the only paper that reported on this death. Now, with the murder last week of the imam, he was, again, brutally beaten to death, found on the floor. But the fact, what really upsetting is, we should be seeing all these as hate crimes. If you find an elderly man on the floor, beaten to death or stabbed to death, you know, it's instantly, we should look at it, you know, as a hate crime first and then anything otherwise. But what they've done here with this case last week, apparently it was reported that he had fallen and hit his head, but clearly the injuries on his head, which were reported in the press, were really severe. Instantly, people who were there, the mosque goers, said it didn't look like he'd fallen. So it's not been seen as a hate crime as yet, and police are investigating, obviously, within the community again. I mean, this case last week did get a good lot of reports regarding this death, and that's the first time in a long time, so that was good. But on the other hand, the Times did report a really disgusting and disgraceful headline in regards to this imam's death, saying he was a imam murdered in a sex grooming town, which is like, why would you link the two? It's nothing to do with the imam. So it's the lack of reporting, and then when it is reported, it's not reported in the right manner.
Can you understand the police when they say, well, we are very reluctant to say something's a hate crime when we don't have the evidence?
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if it's the other way around, and I mean, if there was a white elderly person on the floor, and maybe there was three Asian guys running away from it, it'd be automatically seen as a race crime. And with that case as well, like, you know, the people, you know, witnesses saw the perpetrators running away, but, you know, again, you know, it still wasn't seen as a hate crime. And the CCTV images were very grainy images, considering what the counter-terrorism gave us, but what the neighbours gave us, you can clearly see it was a white person. So it is absolutely disgraceful how Muslim hate crimes are reported in comparison to the way, if it was the other way around. There was more than one attacker. There was a suspect vehicle following my dad from behind, which the police dismissed, and that car had a lot to do with this crime. And if you look at actually the CCTV yourself, you'll see all the footage of Pablo, and none of them look like him. So, you know, I was showing this to my friend today. I said, look at these four images of Pablo, and they look completely different. So, and you know, also, like, you know, neighbors as well, like, you know, what they heard and saw on the night. So we know that there was more than one attack.
Also, there is this potential link to the kind of war agenda with Islam, because, I mean, we've looking at the countries that have been attacked by America and Britain over the last few years, a lot of them are Islamic countries.
What's happening is Muslims being like constantly seen as terrorists, and, you know, this Islamophobic agenda, and Cameron's recent comments to Muslim women saying that we don't integrate, that we can't speak English, and we are traditionally submissive, but he actually doesn't even know us. You know, he hasn't a clue, you know, about us. So, you know, he's come out with all this rubbish recently, attacking Muslim women. So, you know, in a current climate of where Islamophobia is burning and fueling around the world, look what Donald Trump's bigotry in the USA. You look at what's happening in Australia. You know, here in the UK. You know, these are the last things you need, is our own government fueling to these Islamophobic times.
What advice have you got for the police?
There's stories about, you know, the grooming scandal in Rotherham, and the far right are very ripe in both these towns, in Rochdale and in Rotherham. So the police need to also keep their eye on what they are doing and what their movements are around mosques. Because this last year, at the same mosque where this imam has been murdered last week, the Britain First were outside that mosque saying no more mosque. Now, as soon as this imam was murdered just last week, a few hours later, Britain First are posted up on their wall, like basically mocking the death, like saying that, like, we were here at the same mosque. So they provoke people to write the most disgusting comments underneath that post. So they actually put up their no more mosques where they were at the same mosque where the imam died. Now, the police need to obviously look at the far right and look how rife they are in the areas as well, and consider them as suspects first and foremost, instead of investigating the Muslim community first and foremost, which is what they tend to do.
What did you learn about the police and the way they investigate these crimes with regard to your father's case?
I mean, the West Midlands Police, I think they were very, very challenging. Every time we tried to speak to them, they weren't listening to us. When we said it was a hate crime and it was a racist attack, they weren't listening to us. They were investigating the community for Dad's death. They were investigating even us as well. So we weren't happy with the West Midlands Police. But the counter-terrorism unit were brilliant, and they were really understanding and very supportive and seemed a lot more professional at their job. And so that was from our personal experience, and that's why I decided to campaign, because I feel like when such crimes happen, the lack of reporting, in comparison, especially with Lee Rigby's death and Dad's death, Dad was murdered on the streets in a terrorist attack. Lee Rigby was murdered 3 weeks after, and we had worldwide condemnation, you know, Muslims apologising, the police doing Cobra meetings, Theresa May, and then with Dad's death, it was nothing of the sort. It was a deafening silence, actually, a complete deafening silence. So, so that's why I think I actively campaign today to, obviously, we need to stand up to racism, and we need to stand up to Islamophobia, and we need to stand up and challenge our right-wing government who are fueling the hate on our streets at the moment.
That was Maz Salim there speaking to me yesterday. Her father was killed 3 years ago in Birmingham. Martin, one of the most worrying things she's talking about there is effectively, it sounds like a bit of a turf war going on with the police, with the local police saying, well, we want this to be our investigation. We don't want to call it a terrorist attack. Then we can do the investigation. And eventually having to get out of the way and let the counter-terrorism unit come in and do the job.
Well, that's quite interesting, because in general, I spoke at Birmingham Central Mosque some years ago, and what I actually said was you should cooperate with the local police, but don't cooperate with counter-terrorism police and with special branch MI5, etc. I think that we are living in very dangerous times where people are... We're on a knife edge of potential for violence of all kinds, and the police have to be seen to be and to really be above racist profiling and all the rest of it.
What about this assertion there, though, that the police are saying, well, we're very, very reluctant to call it some kind of racist attack because that may actually cause more trouble?
My answer to that is it a racist attack? I mean, sometimes attacks aren't racist.
Well, sometimes
they are, mostly, and the presumption has to be, in this case, what motives would there be?
Reports from the press were that they weren't even sure it was a murder, that actually maybe the guy had hit his head or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can understand why the police were going to be reluctant, to some extent, to say that it's this or that or the other until they've investigated it. But if it is a racist murder, then there shouldn't be any squeamishness about calling it what it actually is. And those responsible should be pursued and caught and all the rest of it.
And what about this whole thing of other suspects as well? I mean, this is interesting,
well,
isn't it?
That's a bigger question, isn't it? It was a Ukrainian neo-Nazi who'd only just been in the country for less than a week who killed her father. And, of course, the suspicion is that he didn't act alone. Just like Breivik, when he killed 60 Labour Party young socialists on Utøya Island, there's big suspicions that he didn't act alone. And in the world we live in, we know that intelligence agencies of various kinds actually carry out terrorist attacks in order to provoke society and to create a sense of fear and basically divide and rule. We know that NATO intelligence services are terrorist enablers, including Islamist terrorism and including right-wing terrorism. And in the past, that's very definitely been the way they've been operating, which is why I've suggested that people should cooperate with local police forces rather than with counter-terrorism and centralised police forces, which tend to be part of the game rather than part of the solution. But I think... Obviously, the experience of your interviewee there was rather different, that the local police were stuck in a rather racist groove, that the counter-terrorism police were willing to contemplate that it was a politically motivated murder. I don't think there's hard and fast rules for this, is there?
What were your thoughts, Paul, about this background here? I suppose really my beef is the media coverage. There's very little. I mean, as Maz pointed out there, massive international media coverage for weeks about the death of Lee Rigby, whereas her father was just a blip in the local paper until various people, including myself, made sure that it was pushed out there much, much further.
Yeah, I mean, like saying what Martin's saying there, really, it's... I don't know, it's very sensitive, and like you said, it's very dangerous times we're living in. You know, things are very on the edge a lot of the time, and I think yeah, I agree. I think the police need to be seen that they're actually acting on stuff, you know, and not just letting it go. But then also the media have a responsibility in that as well, you know, to make sure that the actual facts of what's actually happened are getting out there.
Well, that's right.
But
that's
really
right.
It's down to divide and rule. That, I mean, looking at a bigger scheme of things, that's what I see it as, is keep people fighting against themselves instead of looking upstairs.
Also interesting that that basically the Muslim community in Birmingham were doing a kind of parallel investigation with the police and saying, hang on a minute, there's some CCTV you haven't found here. And that was a way of keeping a check that the police weren't messing around.
Yeah, sure. It's just very, very sad, isn't it?
Also, let's move on to... We mentioned it briefly last week, and it's the wonderful Metro bus, which is causing a lot of traffic jams out there for the whole year, apparently. It's going to be all this year.